we've been talking about women on the earth, and one of the issues that, first of all, we saw that, just to tell quickly, that the perhaps the model for Kriyat HaTorah was the Hakel Moshe. That was once every 7 years. I read a Shemitah, the first book of the Shemitah. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal, established what's called, what the Chazal referred to as Takanat Moshe, established the Kriyat HaTorah on Shabbaton and Chagim. Ezra came along and he instituted Kriyat HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbat afternoon. He also established the three on weekday, four on Rosh Chodesh, five on Yom Tov, six on Yom Kippur, and seven on Shabbat, in the concept of Aliyot. The next thing we saw was that the person who got the Aliyah read, originally the first of the thing, we had seven Aliyot, or three Aliyot, the first Aliyah made the first bracha, the second Aliyah made the last bracha. Later on, Chazal decided that they would have each individual get make an Aliyah and make a bracha, so each person made the first and the last bracha. This is a kind of distinction to learning the Torah. That is, the bracha made for personal learning, the bracha the Torah made in the morning. You make two bracha before and no bracha after. And the Tosfot explains because the obligation to learn continues all day long, or the obligation to be connected to Torah continues all day long. But in Aliyah, it begins and ends. There's just this tekes, which may be public learning, but it begins and ends. You make a bracha before, you make a bracha after, and that's the obligation of, that's the ceremony of Aliyah.
He said the second next to the last bracha.
Well, now, no. Every now, we'll get now, everyone makes the first bracha and the second bracha.
But you said,
that was original.
Oh, okay.
That was original. Then the Chazal changed. Then we saw the Gemara Megillah states, and that's source 8. Let's come to look at source 8. Tome Rabbanan, the rabbis thought, source 8. Hakol olin leminyan shiva v'afilu katan v'afilu isha. Even a katan and even a woman can get an aliyah. Avon amru chachamim, the Chazal said, isha lo tikra b'torah, that a woman should not read from the Torah, mipnei kavod ha-tzibur, because of the honor of the community. And this opens, of course, a Pandora's box. There's a great deal, and we're going to spend the rest of this session, next session, and at the beginning of next year, talking about this at great length. There's a great deal to deal with. But one of the first questions we dealt with was, are women obligated in Kriyat HaTorah? Because that is a very fundamental question. Because if women are obligated in Kriyat HaTorah, then it's not surprising that a woman can get an Aliyah, because she can get an Aliyah, she can be Motzi the Tzibur, if she's obligated. And all's fine and dandy. And in fact, that was the suggestion of the Magen Avraham. He even brought a Masechet Sofrim, which we mentioned is post-Gemara, it's around the 650th Gemara of the Sabarei, that in fact, women are obligated in Kriyat HaTorah. But that is clearly a minority opinion. The vast majority of all Rishonim and Achronim is that women are not obligated in Kriyat HaTorah. And then, of course, the next question becomes, if they're not obligated, how can they read? No matter, they didn't just get Aliyah, they read the Torah. You got an Aliyah, you read the Torah. You read the Torah, you're most conceivable. How did that possible? How did they make these brachot? Number, if you're a Svardi, right, how do you make the brachot according to that Svardi opinion? That's what they're going to ask. They're not chayabot, how do they make the brachot? So this opens now. What's this covenant tzibur, and what if they're not obligated? Why did Chazal even in theory consider the possibility? So there's a lot to talk about, and we will talk about it, but there are layers upon layers, and we have to, and since I don't want to digest, I don't give it to you digested, so to be plowed with the source material and work it out together, one of the first sources we have to deal with is the Tosfot, source number 11. Tosfot, source number 11, is one of the first sources that struggles with the problem, what is the nature of this aliyah that the woman is getting? Now, into a Gemara. This Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah deals with women blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, women are not obligated in tkiyat shofar. Women, that's an example of a mitzvah asay shezman gama, from which women are exempted. And the question is, are women allowed to blow shofar? Are the women allowed to make the appropriate bracha? Are women allowed to make the appropriate bracha? And the Gemara mentioned there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yehuda holds the women. They cannot blow shofar, cannot do mitzvah, they cannot blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yossi says yes, that a woman can assume whatever mitzvah, including blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Even though blowing shofar normally, are you allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov? Let's say it's a circus. Could you take up shofar and blow shofar? The answer is no, it's Mr. Drabbanan. But even though women are not obligated, Chazal marked to them to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there's no halakha.
Maybe
don't
we have a special blowing for women who haven't heard the shofar? Is it accepted that we hear the shofar?
Sure, that's perfectly all right. I didn't say it. Women have to hear it, not because they're obligated in shofar, but because they've taken upon themselves the oath to hear a shofar. Let me restart it again. We discussed this at great length when we talk about mitzvah seishes shofar. That's human vacuum. A woman turns 13. She wants to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. First time she's ever heard of it.
Well,
12.
Okay. We're advanced.
That's not it. My masculine feminism. Okay. A woman turns 12, and first time she wants to hear shofar, she wants to hear shofar. Yes, she can blow shofar, and there's no problem, even though it's Mr. Drabbanan, she's allowed to blow shofar. She assumes that she wants to do the mitzvah of shofar, and she's allowed to do it. Whether she's an Ashkenazi or Sephardi. For the Ashkenazim, the woman can make a bracha for herself. The man, according to Sephardim, she can't make a bracha. And the man can't make a bracha for either if he has a
Torah.
What? She can't mosey a man. She can do mosey for other women or anything else that's there. Now, in fact, she makes one bracha for all the women. If they haven't heard at all. See, most women, they haven't heard some kolot, they haven't heard other kolot, they want to hear the rest. But she hasn't been yotzei, and the man is blowing shofar, she should make the bracha, but the bracha is not ma'akev. But but there's another issue when it comes to tkiyat shofar, that Jewish womankind have accepted shofar as an obligation. Jewish womankind. Essentially an oath taken on by Jewish women to hear shofar. And therefore, it's not just like, oh, what is the sedusis? I don't want to say that sedusis. Jewish women are driven to hear shofar. That's their minhag and their machbid, which means they gotta make sure they go hear shofar. And unless the Rabbi Yosef says, unless her kids are sick at home and she can't make it whatsoever, then they never assume the responsibility of shofar. Under those circumstances, it's almost understood that was an exception. But if she's not talking, she can't say, I don't want to hear shofar. A woman can't do that. She can say, I don't want to sit in the sukkah. But she can't, but shofar, Jewish women have been mocked for generations to hear shofar. So that's a different problem. So you ask me, but don't Jewish women have to hear shofar? So what did I answer? No! She's not obligated to hear shofar because of shofar. She's obligated to hear shofar because she took an oath upon herself to hear shofar. That makes a big difference. That makes a little difference in the world. I mean, okay. Theoretically, the question is, can she be matir neder? But it's a different obligation. Okay. Now, so that's this. Now we're getting to source 11. Yes. When did she take the oath? She personally could take the oath. Women kind. How did it happen? Oh, I don't know. Jewish women sort of said, yup. They just did it. They just did every Jewish woman and woman. Yes, there is such a thing, but it, this seems to be, yes, that is right. That is, if you do it and you don't say, believe neder, and it's a Dvar Mitzvah, and you end up, we're sort of covered with Kol Nidre and Dvar Mitzvah, and we sort of cover ourselves of all those things, but it's not a din. Suppose I said, oh, I said Kol Nidre, but I don't care, I'm going to do it. I mean, Kol Nidre works if you don't remember Kol Nidre. But if you do remember Kol Nidre, you know, say, I'm going to do it 3 times anyway. And I'm, it's, and I'm, you know, you're fully aware that you did it, that you might need a ton of money. So that's what we do for the year.
When did you
get,
when did that happen?
It's been forever. That's the way it's supposed to be seen. Supposed to be taught what? Jewish women have been very mocked on Yeshua, but we showed them talk about it, but certainly that way's back, no, let's go back to the 1100s, 1000s, it's a very, very old custom.
But not
in
the time of the
Gemara. Not in the time of the Gemara, that's probably correct. That point is, but your point is well taken. The Gemara doesn't mention it. But it's, but the Rishonim do mention it, so we're going back 800, 900 years. Okay, now, let's get back to now, we're in the middle of the question of mitzvah d'aseh shazman grama, and we're now struggling with the problem. Can a woman, when she accepts upon herself the mitzvah d'aseh shazman grama, can she make a bracha? Right? And we saw that the part of the issue was, how does she say tzivanu? How does she, she's not obligated, and what is the word tzivanu? I don't want to go through, talked about this for months, but let's just go back over this Tosfot and sort of read it inside. How Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Gemara says, this is Rav Yehuda, stringent about women doing mitzvah d'aseh shazman grama, this is Rav Yossi, all of the women can do any mitzvah that they want to. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, says Rabbeinu Tam, source of love. Ach al gav, stam bat nitin Rav Yehuda, even though the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah seems to come like Rav Yehuda, suggesting that women can't blow shofar, even though that seems to be the, if they're not obligated, Halacha Rav Yossi. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav Yossi, the nimuko imo, because he has gives the reason that women have the right to assume any mitzvah. Umaser Rav davotzei tefillin, and the maser Rav means, and we have the great example in Masechet Erevin, and davotzei tefillin. Michal bat Shaul haita manachat tefillin. We saw Michal bat Shaul used the word tefillin. V'ishtal shel Yonah haita ola l'regel, and the wife of Yonah used to come up for the Shlosh Regalim, even though that's a mitzvah tasei shas man grama, she would come up. So you see, the woman did do mitzvah tasei shas man grama. Bahu uvda the perak indoshim, and that example of the spirits of Masechet Chagiga, and of the Perkein of Doshim, the Aveinu le'ezrat Nashim, the Samchu Alam. They brought a korban to the Ezrat Nashim, and the women leaned on the korban, kidei lasot nachat ruach le'nashim, so that the women would have a spiritual satisfaction. And you see that even though they weren't obligated, they were allowed to lean on it. Now, continues Rabbeinu Tam. Umutarot levarech al mitzvah tasei shazman grama. And they're allowed to make a bracha on mitzvah tasei shazman grama. Afagat leptarot, even though they are free, min ha-dvar, dvar ha-mitzvah, even though they're obligated from the mitzvah, min ha-dvar ha-mitzvah ahi, umetaskot b'hem, and they're really doing it even though they're not obligated. Kamo michal bat Shaul, shaita gam levarechet. The Michal bat Shaul, we presume she also made the bracha. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that she did make the bracha. He simply says, well, we presume she made the bracha because the Gemara says she put on tefillin and didn't make any qualifiers. She put on tefillin. Assume she made the bracha. Zateda. And I'll bring you a proof that she must, that women can make bracha even though they're not obligated. The Amunin of the Perakachov, because the Gemara of the Kaim of Perakachov, the Lama Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef was blind. we've seen this in Gemara before. Mi'ikara, originally, I thought that blind people were free from all obligations. That's what I thought. I thought that blind people were obligated. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mi'ikara Amre Manda Amar Halachas Rabbi Yehuda. Anyone who says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Avidne Yoma Tava the Rabbana. I will make a yomiko for Rabbana. I apologize. I'm getting confused. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, right, that women were, that a blind individuals were free from obligation. So, Mi'ikara, originally I said, Manda Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Anybody who says Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, that blind people are free from obligation, Avid No Yom Tova, I'll make a big party for the Rabbana, for the Chachamim. To Lo Mifkadina, because I wouldn't be obligated, because Rabbi Yehuda says that blind people are free from obligation. Va'avid No, but nevertheless, I fulfill all the mitzvot. V'im the makom de patum in a davar will say you asur, and if says Tosafot that a person who in a makom de patum is min a patum min a davar is free from sabbat, for any asel asur the berach is not permitted to make a bracha, and can amai avin the yomer tovo? Why would he make a parrot? What does he say? He says, if I find out, if anybody can prove to me the lachz of Rabbi Yehuda that blind people are freed from doing mitzvah, I'll make a big party. Why will I make a big party? Because I'm not obligated, because I'm blind, I'm not obligated, and I do it anyway. So I'll get wonderful schar. Now the Gemara continues, right? The Gemara continues that he says, the lady discovers that gadol ha-mitzuveh ba'oseh m'she'in ha-mitzuveh. The greater is the word of someone who is obligated and does it. Because he subjugates himself the obligation. It's not his own volition. Anyway, that's not what we're going to discuss. So says Rabbi Rotan, this proves, his joy proves that you can make a bracha. Because, what did he say? I'm not obligated, and yet I do it anyway. Whoopee, I get great, great reward. What are you so happy about? You can't make any of the brachot. You lose all mitzvah points. You may get greater points from the mitzvah, but you lose the possibility of making all the brachot. Look, a person gets mitzvah points. He's counting up mitzvah points, right? You get mitzvah points for doing an action. You also get a mitzvah points for making the bracha. Now, so he says, look, I'm not obligated, and I do it anyway. So I get greater reward. That's what he assumed. I get greater reward because I'm not obligated. So Tosafot says, if the position were that if you're not obligated, you can't make brachot, why was he so happy? Looks like a blank face. Look, he said he wanted to, if you can't make a bracha, if you're not obligated, why was he so happy? Yeah, he got greater reward for the mitzvah, but he can't make any of the brachas, so he loses all the reward for all the brachas he can't make. So in the net total, he comes out behind. What? Don't get upset because he's blind, that poor guy. No, that's not the issue here. What? But the point of the matter is, he's ecstatic that he's not obligated. He should have said to Father, look, I'm obligated. According to his assumption, he's doing mathematics here, right? Religious mathematics, spiritual mathematics. He's saying, what is it better? Is it better that I should be blind and obligated, or blind and not obligated? So he said, it's better that I should be blind and not obligated, because then I'll get greater reward. So he said, what greater reward are you getting? Yeah, you may be getting a little bit greater reward because you're not obligated, you're doing it anyway, but you lose all the brachos and all the mitzvahs that you can for the rest of your life. You can't make any brachos anymore on the mitzvahs. Says Rabbi Natan, that proves that the only difference between for a blind person was whether he was obligated or not obligated. That was the only difference. And not being obligated, he thought, gave him it's worth something. His assumption is that that difference between obligation and not is not that great compared to losing all the brachos.
Because
not ma'akin. It's not ma'akin the fulfillment, but you get schar for doing that too. It has its own schar. Okay. You're asking me, I know the question. You're asking me, look, maybe it's better to be get the greater reward of the mitzvah even if you don't get the bracha. That clearly doesn't speak. Okay. But no, you must say, that's okay when that, in that, just above the Kedusha 11, where I'm lying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, five, fifth lines, right? Avin Yomit Torah, Baru Dolom Kedusha. So V'im B'makom, at the end of the that fifth line. V'im B'makom D'Patur Ben Adavar, Oseil, Aser B'Levarech, sixth line, Im Kein Amai Avin Yomit Torah. Why did you make such a big party? V'lo Hayam Masik B'Kot Tzitzit B'Lula B'Tfilin Nu Megillah B'Ner Chanak B'Vostok V'Abdol and he loses all these brachot. The chalat and all the other brachot. Shema mina hechid the betira shem nevuche. From here we learn that if you're a potter, you can make the bracha. As ever, the only thing the only question here is obligated, not obligated. But with the performance, I can do all the same performance. So he says here. Then we're skipping a couple of lines here. I don't want to get into it. But Tosis wants to suggest the possible in-between answer. Umiyu yesh lichot. One might be able to argue. The reshut yochol ha'otziva chiyuva derabanan. That even though you're not obligated, this is a sort of a side issue that Tosis, I skipped a whole bunch of lines that Tosis, but this is an issue that comes up. One of the fundamental differences between being obligated and non-obligated is your ability to be motzis of it. We said, for instance, that a man can be motzi a woman by kitchofer, but a woman can be motzi a man. That's because a man is obligated, she's not obligated. So the halacha is that if the greater obligation be motzi the lesser obligation, but not vice versa. So there's an issue about Rabbi Yossi being motzi, other people agreeing with the Haggadah. Okay, this was one of the issues. So he tells us right to me, yesh lechot, one might say, d'reshut yochol lotziva kiyuva d'rabanan, that if you're not, when we make this distinction about if you're obligated, then you can be motzi. If you're not obligated, you can't be motzi. That's only by biblical obligations. But, says Tosfos, one could argue, one could say, that, and one who's optional, a woman or a minor, could be motzi, or even a blind person, could be motzi, someone who's obligated, if the obligation is a rabbinic obligation. That's what Tosfos wants to argue. Just file that information away. That there is such a shita. The mevarech la'aviv, the katan mevarech la'aviv. The Gemara wants to suggest that there are times that a minor who's only rabbinically obligated could be motzi his father also was rabbinically obligated. Yeah, the situation of the father rabbinically obligated. Now he says, v'olda the minyan shiva, and a minor can get an aliyah. What's bothering those folks? You see from the fact that the katan and the isha can get an aliyah, why can they do so? Because Kriyat HaTorah is what? A rabbinic obligation. And therefore, even though they're optional, the rules change when it comes to rabbinic obligations. Then a rabbinic obligation, a reshut can be motzi. Even if it's optional, you're not obligated, you can be motzi. Umotzi achirim yedich v'tan v'megillah. There's a Rav Yerukar Rav Yehuda, a minor can be motzi, a major. In Megillah, Kedivnan, the Megillah, let me just mention in passing. Okay, this is a view mentioned in the Tosfot. The consensus of Poskim is not this way. There's another Tosfot that maintains, although this is a stream in Halacha, I notice that they're using this argument to answer on how women and minors get Aliyah. that when did we, the whole question was, how could a major, how could a woman read or a minor read the Torah? She's not obligated and the community is obligated. The answer was what? Oh, that's only by rabbinic obligation. In such cases, even if you're not obligated, you can be yotzei. The majority poskim hold that that's not so. That you have to be of the same level of obligation in order to be yotzei. To the point that the majority poskim make a concept called chad derabanan and trei derabanan. Chad means one rabbinic obligation. Trei means a double rabbinic obligation. Let me give you an example of what I mean. By Mikra Megillah, all majors, all adults, are obligated to Megillah. Why? Rabbinically, right? This, the Chazal is established. What about a child? What's the child's obligation? The year of Megillah. A child who's above 9 years old, if it's a chinuch, has an obligation to hear Megillah too. As a child, but it's chinuch. What's his obligation? Says most of the poskim, based on another tosva, that his obligation is also rabbinic. But his obligation is doubly rabbinic. Because the whole obligation is rabbinic. The fact that you have to educate children is also rabbinic. So it's a rabbinic obligation on a rabbinic obligation. That's a doubly rabbinic obligation. Right? That's a trei derabanan. Ve'ein trei derabanan motzi chad derabanan. And a double rabbanan can't be motzi a single rabbanan. Certainly a reshut can't be motzi a derabanan. So while this tosva, which I cite to you, is one line, one approach, the majority of those come out, no. They have to be the same level of obligation or greater to be Moses someone else. Okay. Let's go move on to the next section of the Tosfot. The Rabbi Yehuda ba the Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda mevi raya the noshim nevochot al mitzvot aseh shev mandam. The reason Rabbi Yehuda wants to bring a proof that women are allowed to make mitzvot and make brachot on positive commandments with a tiny German, namely on fulfillment of actions in which they're not obligated. Mida amrina in the Megillah, because the Gemara says in the Gemara Megillah, hakol olin l'minyan shiva. So the fact that women can get aliyot, in theory. Va'afilu isha va'afilu katan. Va'af al gav. Okay? Now, what is his assumption here? His assumption here that this is an example of women's obligation. Let's create the Torah. A fulfillment of the mitzvah of Torah learning, but it's a rabbinic commandment to do it in public. The brachot, therefore, are what? Are brachot ha-mitzvah. Are you with me? This is the analysis. It's all presumed in this text. A, that Torah learning is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a public mitzvah of Talmud Torah, rabbinically established. The brachot before and after are brachot ha-mitzvah. Before and after. Okay? So he says, Shakol olin l'minyan shiva afilu isha afilu katan va'af al giyodav de isha eina mitzuveh lasot b'Torah. Even though a woman does not have an obligation to sit and learn Torah, we talked about this again at great length just a while ago. She has an obligation to know Torah, not an obligation to learn Torah. Okay? Kidama b'perakama de kiddushin b'resh kol ha'avet, that a woman doesn't have the obligation to learn Torah, therefore what? So what is this proof, says Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda? Proof that this is an example of a public Torah, and yet Chazal said that what? That she can make the bracha of the public Talmud Torah. Why? Because a woman can make a bracha on any action, any mitzvah action, which she wants to accept upon herself. So what do you think? Let's try it again. According to Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda, his analysis is that the Chazal set up that there's a mitzvah of learning Torah. For my private learning, I make the bracha of the Torah in the morning. Women are obligated in those brachos. Because that's we say that those are for private learning. In the public mitzvah of Limud Torah, we said women are not obligated. And the public mitzvah of the Iman HaTorah, we're not obligated. Chazal set up this mitzvah, public learning, they set up the bracha before and after, there's a bracha the mitzvah. Chazal said, women are not obligated. Nevertheless, if they should get an aliyah, they can make those bracha. How will they make the bracha? Says Rabbi Levader, proof that on the mitzvahs that women are not obligated but accept upon themselves, they can make a bracha. Okay? So what's his analysis? The Kriyat HaTorah is a mitzvah action. The Omer Rabbi Natan. The Rabbi Natan, remember, he holds, Rabbi Natan really holds that women are allowed to make bracha. But he said, from here there's no proof. Because your analysis of the essence of Kriyat HaTorah is wrong. The Omer Rabbi Natan, the Ein Zeraya, there's no proof from Kriyat HaTorah. The Birkat HaTorah lefanea ulacharea, the bracha of the Birkat HaTorah, the bracha of Kriyat HaTorah, before and after, so at the public reading of the Torah. La Mishum Talmud Torah, it has nothing to do with the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. She'afilu berech Birkat HaRevna, O Niftar Ba'Ava Rabba. Because if it was the same mitzvah, on that, the mitzvah of learning Torah, I already made brachot on the mitzvah of learning Torah. What were those brachot? The brachot I make in the morning. Every Jew is supposed to make those brachot in the morning. I made those brachot in the morning. So I already fulfilled the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Nevertheless, even though I said, okay, read again, She'afilu berech birkat ha'arevna, even though he said the birkat of Limud HaTorah, oh niftar ba'ava rabba, or he didn't say the brachot, but he said ahava rabba, which says, that's right before Kriyishma. And we mentioned this in passing, that if you didn't say birkat ha'Torah in the morning, but you said ahava, and you said ahava rabba, that works for birkat ha'Torah too. So even if I didn't say Brina, but I said Avarabba, I'm yelling my Birkat HaTorah. Chozer Mavarech. And I go back and say Birkat HaTorah again. Teda, I'll prove to you that this has nothing to do with Limud HaTorah.
Why?
Shebemakom, she'ein Levi. The place where there's no Levi, Kohen Levi. A Kohen gets up and reads again in the place of the Levi. Umavarech, and he makes the bracha again, right? If there's a Kohen in Shul and no Levi, what happens? Procedure follows. A Kohen gets the other. If there's no Levi, the Kohen gets pulled up instead of a Levi, because every Kohen is also a Levi. What? If there's no Kohen, then Yisroel gets called. Anybody can do it. Yisroel gets called. The order of Kohen Levi Yisrael is a special mitzvah of the Kiddushto, of sanctifying the Kohen. And it means special treatment. The Levi has no such act. He just comes because of the Kohen. Okay? So once you have a Kohen, you do Kohen Levi Yisrael. But if there's no Kohen, then anybody, then the order can be any way, then Yisrael comes. Umavarech, even though he made the bracha, he makes the bracha again. Now, isn't that absurd? If it's a mitzvah action, what am I repeating the bracha again? I already did my mitzvah. I already did it. So he said, that has nothing to do with it. There's a special chazal set up a ceremony. The ceremony is called Kriyat HaTorah. Or we can call it rededication to the covenant. The ceremony, if you do, every time you do the ceremony, you gotta make the bracha. So if you're a Kohen, then you go and get called for the second time. You make the bracha again. Okay, that's answer number one. Now I'll give you a second answer, says Rabbi Natan. That there's no proof that a woman from this, even though I hold the woman can make bracha, there's no proof from the fact that women get aliyot. That therefore, so they can make brachot. Yes.
Aliyot, which side of mechitzah?
Well, we'll talk about that. Right now, we're just talking about food.
Yeah.
The answer is we'll get to that question. Trust me. She probably walks over the men's side.
I know.
You know she right? Probably would walk over the men's side and say, because this mechitzah is a mass problem. It's not an individual. I don't know, you notice that from time to time they open the men walk in and open up the windows. Don't you say,
no, you don't. We don't. Yeah,
why not? You think the kiss is only meant to men, but not meant to women.
That's not right.
You know, that's even a question mark. The answer is, thank you very much. Now, the pizza is for masses, but one or two women in the men, in the men's section is not an issue. If it's Akrai, the Kamin, we talked about it. We talked about this when they used to come and say Bekele Kogel or say Kaddish, before they did on the other side of the pizza, they wanted to say word over them, and you could hear them, they would come in. They come in through by the door. Imagine in the Brosh synagogue, women would come in, the Tomot would come in and say Kaddish, they would come in by the door and say by the door. There's no problem with it. And also we'll see some sources, I hope I'll be able to find a Chuba that says it right on Mark, yeah, she would have said it. Ramosha says it. Ramosha Pachin says it. Okay, two. The Od. The Ika Lameimar, because one can say, when did a woman get an aliyah? What's bothering you? The problem is, how does a woman get an aliyah? She's got to make a bracha. Says, for all the ikal of meima, dahad the isha olah, hainu be'emitza. Shalom hayu medilim levarek, idihita be'perak koret and medilim omeh. Remember? On the original institution, women, they only made the bracha, the first person made the bracha, the last person. So what do you want to prove? The fact that she gets called up, she can make a bracha. She can make a bracha. No proof. The fact that the Gemara says she can be called up, maybe she gets called up 2 through 6. But 1 and 7, which required her to make a bracha, she can't make a bracha. She's not chayyavet. No proof, he says. You want to prove that a woman can say a bracha even though she's not chayyavet? No proof. She gets something up 2 through 6. Not 1 and 7. Because it says, he says, the woman get a ton of potech mevarech lefaneh, the chotem mevarech lefaneh. Now hold on. For ha'idna, kulan mevarechim zera mishum ha'nechnasim mishum yotzim. And now, all can make the bracha because of the nechnasim u'mishum ha'yotzim, because they're coming in and coming out. Now, Tosfos doesn't explain really, so now what happens now that we do it nowadays? What about women? Do you understand what happened? Tosfos has sort of left us hanging. No. So what happens now? What does a woman do? He doesn't say. He just says, nowadays, when everybody makes a bracha, so what about women? He doesn't say. He doesn't say, and theoretically, one could give two possible answers. I mean, a priori, which are exactly the opposite. One could say, nowadays, that everyone has to make the bracha, she can't get it. Because she's not chayavet. When did the Gemara say she could get an aliyah? When she was in the middle, when she didn't have to make the bracha. But when she doesn't get it, but nowadays that everybody has to make an aliyah, she can't get an aliyah. She can't make a bracha. And you have to make a bracha because it's Chazal said it, so she can't get an aliyah. Other possibility is to say, well, now that Chazal set up because of the Nechnasim and because of the Yotzim, if that's what you're afraid of, you're not making the bracha to be motzi. You're making the bracha so that people will know what? That there's a bracha before Knesset Torah and after Knesset. For that's the reason. Yeah, we should make the bracha too. It should not be motzi anybody. It's the first one. There are a variety of ways of learning, and we're going to see the Rabbeinu Nissim and different analysis too.
Is this discussion theoretical or is it
natural practice? Yeah, no patience. I would say that with minors, it was a practice. With women, it's in theory with a couple of cases where it actually did. Trust me. Just hang in there. You gotta be patient. I want to tell you something. Did you remind me? At Bar Ilan, I gave a course called everything you want to know about premarital sex but we're afraid to ask your local friends. And this little shiur I gave in English. I gave it in English to a bunch of from kids.
Mixed?
Mixed men and women. It was a shir which I talked about, chibuk and mishab and idea and dancing and hataras and shmocha, and I talked about everything. I was often talking about premarital sex, but you know what? I don't want to just talk about, that's not the function. I also want to give a framework and a belt and shana and a shkafa. By the first year, there must have been 150 kids there. Maybe 20 who spoke English, and the other 130. One year, I get called up by your own London. You call me your own London, and I talk to your Aaron, what should I do? Should I answer? And he says, stay away, don't talk. You just have to get the datim. So I didn't answer, didn't talk. There was a katava about me, and then katisha. Anyway, so the shir went on, and I went on, and slowly surely the numbers are going down. I'm teaching Gemara's, and teaching Shulchan Aruch, and we're going through, and the Di, and everything. Okay? After about 8 weeks, when I finally got the premarital sex, there were only about 20 serious English speakers left. And then we talked about premarital sex, we talked about all the interesting stuff. But it, anywho, you just have to hang in there. We'll get to the interesting stuff, but when we get there, you'll have all the knowledge you need to appreciate what's going on. Okay, now let's continue. We're still on that Tosfot. Two lines from the bottom, three lines from the bottom here. Umil, okay, you with me? We have three lines from the end, just above where the two columns are, three lines at the end. Umil. Olim leminyan shiva mashma besof shiva. Says Rabbi Ratam, what did I want to say? No proof, maybe she gets the aliyah 2 through 6. Right? So he says, no, I can't say that. Because the language, Olin leminyan shiva, she includes to the count of the 7, suggests that she can even get 7, number 7. Mm-hmm. Right? So it suggests to her, now maybe it really is a group. I don't know. Maybe she really can count the 7. Umikotem de mazon, birket ha mazon, afafishu butter, ein rayo de isha. Now this is a very fundamental principle that you have to understand this principle, because it's going to come up time and time again. He says the fact that the Gemara suggests that a katan, let me give you an example. Look, a minor can't be motzi a major because he's no bonim and the major is still right. Suppose the katan ate achilat sofa. He ate so he's full. And suppose the miner did not eat kdeis tefillah, just had a kazayis of bread, so he's high on it, but he's not major. As I said, I always tell my students, right, what I meant to say. The major didn't eat kdeis tefillah. Now you have a miner who's fully obligated, rabbinically, to be biblically obligated as tefillah, nachalta v'savata. Rabbinically, as long as you're at a kazayah or a debate system, as long as you're at a minimum amount, you're obligated to bench. So the major is obligated rabbinically, the minor is also obligated rabbinically, and both of them are only chad de rabbanan, right? Because the major fully, the minor is fully obligated rabbinically, he's sabata, but if it's only rabbinic, and the major is. Okay, so he says, "Umikata de mevarech birket hamazon, af al pi shu patur, ein haraya leisha." From the fact that a katan can make birket hamazon, even though he's not obligated, only obligated to kino, there's no proof to an isha. Okay. I'm trying to figure out exactly. Let's continue. De katan ba lechlal chiyuv וחייב לחנכו ואינו מוזר על לא תישא. He wants to say, let me explain to you what the problem is. There's a fundamental, that you have to prove, children are allowed to make, children can make brachas. Why need a week? You beat the bracha 3 or 4 times for the child, we're not worried about. Why is a child making it? Yes, the child is a Mrs. Pino. The things we permit by a child who's not obligated, which is, and furthermore, says Tosa, a child will come to obligation. Now you can't compare that necessarily to women who are not obligated, because they're majors. They can't say brachot unnecessarily. They will never come to obligation. So that's true that women and minors are both not obligated, yet to prove that a woman can make a bracha, we have to work much harder, says Tosfos, because she's a major. All the rules, there's no mitzvah here. She's got to be worried about lo tisa Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. She can't mention God's name in vain. She has to have some matir, something to permit her to say the bracha. Well, the minor, he's going to come to obligation. There's a mitzvah chinuch here. You know, he's not obligated lo tisa the same.
That's all the
Well, the girl children is complicated because she's a minor and she's a girl, which means she may not come to obligation. Yes. Although the Lotisa problem is a lesson of her problem. In some ways, a minor girl is less complicated than a minor. Number 12, Rabbeinu Nissim. Hakol olin leminyan, shiva v'afilu, isha v'afilu katan. Perush olin lashlim. They can go up to complete. Olin lashlim ka'amah. Velo shiu kulam ktanim, velo nashim. You cannot have all 7 being women and minors. You need at least 1. And he doesn't really say, you need at least 1. And the reason why I say 1 is because of what the Eri is, we're going to read the Eri in a second, in order to get an Aliyah. You need 1 male who's obligated to Aliyah, and then you can finish up the rest of the 7 with women and minors. Kibun dela b'nei chiyuvanim, since they're not obligated, lo mafki legamrei, they can't fulfill the obligation completely. There's some part of the obligation you need at least one who's fully obligated to fulfill that, and then you can have women and children. We're gonna see in the Eri 13 in a bit. Well, the fun ikar dina nami, according to the ikar hadin, she'enu mevarach ela poteach v'chutein, according to the original halacha, that only the first and the last made the bracha. Isha v'katan ein kavin rishon v'lo achor. The woman and the minor cannot be first or last. Mishum bracha, because of the bracha. Lefishi iafshan lekavin acherim sheyetzu b'katan. Because the others who get the aliyah can't be yotzei. If they were first or last, they could not be motzi the other people who get aliyah. So they can't make those brachot. But they can get 2 through 6. Umiyu, now says Tosa. It's not says Rabbi Rabbi, Umiyu hashta the takun of Abbanan, shiavachu kulam. And now that each one makes a bracha, isha v'katan kovin afilo v'shon lachor. Now women can make the first and last. The kivan the kovin vada nevochim. Since they read, they can also make the bracha. Midei to have a katan the maftir, just like a minor can read maftir in the navi, who mevarech, who have your tata Torah, makes the tata Torah. Let's explain to you what I'm going to say. In a system in which only the first and 7th made the bracha, the first one made the bracha for all the rest of the 7, right? The 7th made the bracha, the last bracha for all the previous 6. You have to be motzi all of them. Each person, the motzi oro. If you're not obligated, you can't be motzi. Says Rabbeinu Nissim, but if now each one makes a bracha, when the woman gets her aliyah, first, second, seventh, doesn't make a difference. Who should be motzi? Can she be motzi herself? Yes. Notice that Rabbeinu Nissim is interested to introduce a slightly different analysis than we were assuming. The brachot are for whom? Not for the community, not for the kahal, for the person getting the aliyah. It's my mitzvah. I go up, I'm making the brachot for me. Yes? Well, they don't need it. Kohen Ben Nissim, now that we have, that is the brachot are for the olim, not for the kahal. So when you go up, number two, three, then make their own bracha. So each person who gets the aliyah makes the bracha for themselves. So if a woman gets an aliyah, I don't need her to be obligated. For whatever reason, Chazal made a dispensation. We still haven't answered the question why. Chazal made a dispensation because we really haven't still solved the problem. The problem is, all right, so we solved the bracha, but make the bracha for yourself. But I'm reading the Torah. How do I read the Torah for the rest of the community? Now we're gonna start moving in that direction in a minute. We'll read the Me'irish. But now the Rabbeinu Nissim has introduced us a very fundamental analysis, differently than maybe what we may have assumed before. The brachot are not for the tzibur. The brachot are for me. I shake the lulav, I make my own bracha. I get an aliyah, I make my own bracha. So if a woman gets an aliyah now, she can make the bracha. Yes.
He says Rahashvim. Does that mean that if there are seven men in the pool,
yes, me, can she get
a Sephora?
No, he said to complete the reading.
As second.
No, he doesn't mean that, because he says she can get first or seventh. If I didn't have the rest of Rabbeinu Nissim, and there are Rishonim who say exactly what I wrote, what you said appears in some Chuvot, and the later Chuvot said that can't be right, because what I'm going to say in a second. You said, it says Lashlim. Maybe it means the first only has to be a man, and the rest have to be a woman. Lashlim means to complete. But the other...
That's not what I said. You're saying you need at least one man. And he uses the word Lashlim. I'm saying that if you don't... It's like, okay, so you don't have a man. You have 10 people for a minion, so sometimes you could have maybe a child.
Yes, must be one who's out. One male... must read.
Okay, but if you have seven who are obligated, right. Do you take women and children? That's my question.
Can you protect it for additional, for us, so support?
Not the seven.
Actually, we're talking about the original seven. Yes, you can take women and children, provided you one of the seven is a male.
Okay, but if you have other men, you can still take women and children.
Yeah.
They're not second class if you can't do it.
No, wait a second. We haven't yet dealt with the question, and that's what you're pushing. Under what conditions can women and children get aliyah? Because we haven't said what's going to happen. Remember, the books say she can't get aliyah. We're talking as if women can get aliyah. And yet the books say... But we have to understand, when is that theoretically? Because when is this covenant secret? When is it set aside? Or what conditions?
You started by saying we need at least one man.
Yes, you need one man.
To have Kriyas HaTorah for the Kahal, okay? But, so I'm saying if you have seven men, do you call
them? My answer is no. If you have seven men to cover, a woman can't do it.
Or shouldn't.
Yes, she does, you're yotze, but she should. The covenant tzibur problem comes in if you have enough males to cover the basic obligation, women cannot get along. Which is a sort of a hint of where one of the things comes up.
You had mentioned that if there's no lady, then a coin can get a lady.
That's correct.
Okay. If, according to the people, just started,
coin can...
Oh, you're asking to get a one person get some
of the And Israel can get a color and there's no coin.
That's a very good question. Look, theoretically, can one person, you're asking me a question, can one man get seven aliyah? Generally, the postman is talking about to say that the man gets the first aliyah and the other six go to the women. The answer is I have to think about this. Because you're asking me a question. Suppose there's a man who knows to read the whole parsha. He'll get all seven aliyah. He'll get pulled up and he'll get pulled up again, Is that the preferable way or the preferable way? To call up one man from the first aliyah and then the woman get the other six. That's what you're asking me. The answer is, I don't know yet. Let's now read the Mi'iri. Yes?
Because it says,
oh, yes, so much, yes, definitely. We don't have Balcorates here. Balcorates does not appear. What?
They know how to read this.
Oh, these women are known to read. Oh, yeah, these are smart women. Knowledgeable, trained women, right? And as it will demonstrate, the men of the cove don't know how to read. These are women who know to read, and the men of the cove don't know how to read. And even though the men are Hayavim, they don't know, they're not Haratzim. Women's service in what sense? And that we can talk about it all you want to. And I've already talked about it radio, but...
He said there has to be a man first. There are only women.
Right. There has to be 10 men. There has to be a minion. If there's no minion there, there's no Kriyat Torah. I mean, you can have women lead from the Torah, but that's Libra Torah. It's not Kriyat Torah. We're talking about Kriyat Torah. There's a minion of males there. The fact that women can get a Leah doesn't necessarily mean they count for the minion. They're not obligated, so they can't count for the minion. We're talking about a situation there is a big.
This is a group. No, 10 men. No, you're talking 9 of them can't read.
But they can't read. They're Amoratzim. Right? They're kosher Jews, but they don't know how to read. Everybody who got an aliyah read. Now, one of the things, the next shake of the dice is going to be the Balkorin. Now, what does he do to the numbers here? Because now we have, nobody reads. Right? So what does that mean? Nobody reads. Does that mean anybody can get an aliyah? Or does it mean women now can't get aliyahs? Because the only reason why they could get aliyahs is because they read. Right? But now we have a man who reads for everybody, so now there's no excuse. Right? So how does the Balcorae shake things up here? So let's do it slowly. One thing at a time. Because it's very confusing. It is. But let's just get the principles. Just have to hang in there with you guys, Okay, let's now read the Mi'iri. The Mi'iri says, Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. Okay, 13. Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. Oh, the Ezen Minyan Shal Kriyat HaTorah. Let's follow it. What question is the answer?
Yeah,
a woman can count for the seven or for any number of aliyahs.
During the week,
Yom Tov. Not what?
But
you don't
call up seven.
Yeah, that's right. She says, the Gemara says a woman can come up for seven. Right? What about when there's three? What about four, five, six? Can a woman get an aliyah for those circumstances? So the Mi'iri now is the first one who, right? He's the 1200. First one who deals with the issue. He says, it makes no difference. The Gemara says, so the question is, I mentioned seven. She said, I call only the Kriyat Torah. Why mention Sheva? Right? Okay, check it. Hakol Olin Laminyan Sheva. Ola Eza Minyan Shal Kriyat HaTorah. Vafilu Isha Vafilu. Let me just sort of give you an answer, one possible answer, that the reason why we would have this special dispensation is because we don't have enough men who are knowledgeable. So we call up a woman who knows how to read, right? Where would you have such a problem? We have so many seven aliyahs. We have a whole parsha to read. Right? So there you'd have it. That's a finish. Right? So the Torah is merely talking, the Halakha is merely talking about it in a normative situation where you would read it. It says, Mi'iri, if they don't have anybody to read, right, even by three, so you can call a woman up two. That's what the Mi'iri says. It's only a Kiddush. That's the normative situation, but that's not okay. Avon Amul Chazal, we're going to begin the third line. Avon Amul Chazal, Isha lo tikka b'torah b'nei kabbalat tzibur. We shouldn't read because the kabbalat tzibur, unfortunately, the Mi'iri doesn't give us any clue about what covenant super is. Yesh mi sha'omer, there are those who say, שבכל מקום צריך בכל קריאה, nevertheless, even though we made the special dispensation by which women and children can get aliyot, even though they're not obligated, there must be in every reading kore echad gadol, must be one child. We saw this by the Rabbeinu Nissim too. V'ho'il v'kara echad kfar nishlama takanat Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have our first clue. Why must you have one, at least one male reading? Because the whole story started what? How did Kriyat HaTorah start? There was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu that had a Shabbat and Yom Tov to take out the Sefer Torah and read. There was no such thing as aliyahs. A male got up and he read. Says, and then Ezra came along and set up this concept of aliyot. When Ezra set up this concept of aliyot, he said, look, we're saying all these aliyot, we'll make a special dispensation that for the additional aliyot, will allow women and children to read if there are enough knowledgeable men in the community. But this must be one male to at least fulfill the original obligation of Takanat Ezra. But it must be one male to fulfill this basic obligation. Takanat Moshe. Ve'en kan od kriya, ela mitakanat, after you fulfill the one male obligation of Kriyat HaTorah, then the rest of the aliyot only come from Takanat Ezra. Because Moshe Rabbeinu already said read. He didn't say how much to read. Ezra came along and said, do these many aliyot, then read this much of the parsha. That all came later. Shelo hayam minyana kol'im mitakanat Moshe Rabbeinu, because the number of olim wasn't from Moshe Rabbeinu's takanah. El gufa kriya levad, just the fact that every Shabbos you should read from something from the Torah. V'yachol lashlim kriya, ayidei isha b'kana, you can fill up the rest of the aliyot by a woman and a katan. אבל לא שתעשה כל הקריאה הידי אישה וקטן, but not that you do the rest of the aliyah, הקריאה, with a mind, with a woman or a mind. ויש מי שמפרש, and there are those who interpret, שלא נאמרו הדברים אלא בזמן שקוראים אמצעים ולא ברכה. When do we say that women and minors can get aliyah? Only where the first and the last made the bracha. Isha yechola lekvod b'emtzai, she can read in the middle, right? But without a bracha. Avon achshav shekulan nevorchim, ein ha'isha koret klal. But nowadays, the woman can't make the bracha at all. Why? Because the Me'iri is in the Svardi school. And the Me'iri holds that if you're not obligated in the Svardi school, if you're not obligated in a bracha, you can't make a bracha. The Ron was of the Ashkenazi school. And he held even the women weren't obligated in a bracha, they can make the bracha. So the question of, now that everybody makes a bracha for their own aliyah, comes splits according to the Ashkenazi Sephardi fault. According to Ashkenazi, well, women can make any bracha that they're not obligated in. Kriyat HaTorah, if they can get it on the air, they can make the bracha too. Either not obligated, they can make any bracha they want to. According to the Meiri, who's in the Sephardi school, they can't make the bracha because they're a Sephardi. If you're not obligated, you can't make a bracha. It's a bracha shen tzucha. It's an unnecessary bracha. You can't make a bracha. And since every aliyah requires a bracha, because Chazal set it up that way nowadays, women can't get aliyah. Excuse me? Because Chazal said, "Nichnasin u'mishum hayotzi," that every person's got to make a bracha. And since she can't fulfill that part of the takanah, she can't get an aliyah. The man can't make the bracha for her. He can't make the bracha. It's not his aliyah. It's her aliyah, but she can't make the bracha. Now you're asking a very good question. What you're asking is a very good question. What happens in a situation where there's nobody who can read? Are you not going to do Kriyat HaTorah because of it? And the answer is, yeah, because of your anus. No, I mean, I don't know how they would do it. I have to think about that. I don't know. As long as you have one person, so what are you going to do? He's going to... There are theoretically ways that you might do it. You might have the same person read the same portion several times. I know this sounds absurd, but there are times that we do repeat things over and over again. We do repeat things, and it's true, I didn't read all Parsha, at least the last one. I'll do what I can do within the bounds. First of all, of course, I'll try to have the same gentleman read seven times. I don't know. I have to study this. Let me plead ignorance in this situation. But it's clear that from the Irish, she can't get Aliyah. He says it, right? Right? The Isha, right? I'm an Akshash, she can learn the book, and any she can learn cloud. She can't get it all, because she can't get the problem. V'chein ha-dinofein, so logic would dictate, sh'reheach t'varech v'yiktuvah. How should we make a bracha? She taught her. You can't make a bracha if you're not obligated. U'mikol makom, katan v'varech ho v'yesh lo sh'echut v'tan v'torah, v'sh'achein ha v'suvim v'lamda, but a minor, he has some obligation v'chinuch. So he can make the bracha, such minor can make a bracha because of chinuch. I, a woman, she has no mitzvah of chinuch. And she can't make a bracha, but she's a major now. She has to be worried about Lotisa. She can't leave Moshe Shem Shemayim.
So then he would agree that the bracha is not to be Motzei the Tzibur.
He would agree the bracha is not to be Motzei the Tzibur, but you can't make a bracha. And your action, the bracha, he agrees with the Rav. The bracha is for your aliyah. But I can't make the bracha on my aliyah if I'm not obligated. Because he's smarty, right? A woman shakes the lulav and esrog. She wants to make the bracha on her lulav and esrog shaking. It's her mitzvah. But she's not obligated. So come the smarty, you can't. The Ashkenazim, you can. So it falls down on that sort of... The analysis is the same. The aliyah is for you. The bracha is for your particular aliyah. All right. Let's look at... we'll stop here. Okay, let me just make clear. Next week is the last time we meet. Okay? Next week is the next time we meet. Now, we have to make some sort of policy decision about when we're going to meet after I come back. I'll be back on September 5th or so. So, we can either be dead, but then we go right into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur again.
Rosh Hashanah is October.
At the end of September. Yeah. All right, so we can...
Then are you leaving September?
I'm leaving a week from this coming Sunday.
So Monday...
Monday is the next last time we'll meet. And we will not have finished this. But you won't forget a thing I told you. And I will do it anyway. Party will be reviewing all summer long. But look at it, that's correct. But this coming Monday, and then with the more I'll make an asshole when I come back. I'll be back here on the 6th. That's right. Well, listen, we can think about it for a whole week, and you'll make a decision. I agree. When's Rosh
Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, September 30th.
What?
29th, September 30th.
What day of the week?
Friday.
It's Shabbos.
Shabbos Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
I don't know. It gets complicated. I think the best time is to be right after Sukkot. Okay, we'll talk about it next week. As you go through this tshuva, you'll see he'll see a strict school and the extreme relative school, and he's sort of the school in between that maintains that you can rely on this school b'shadatcha, b'diabad, if you have no choice, to say regilut el. But in going through it, he discusses some of the responses that we saw to say there really is such that these two shitot really do exist.
What's the subject
today
that a woman can have her back
to
her husband's clothes and slide for
exactly? Well, we'll see. Okay, I suggest that you wait till we see Rav Moshe Feinstein.
The answer is that the hair, if she has like a net behind her hair and the hair comes out from the back of the neck, everybody would seem to, everybody. And of course, there's a lot more room. But you'll see that based on Moshe Feinstein, the women actually show much more in the front or show in the back. A tefach in the front. We'll go through the tshuva of Moshe, because Moshe is a very interesting in between position, which allows a certain amount of kudot which we'll discuss. Yeah. I must tell you that we'll discuss it next week. I just want to tell you now that next week we'll meet. In 2 weeks I have a wedding, something very close, which I won't be able to attend. But next week we'll be here. Okay, well good.